I'm gonna write a word up there. If you were just, this is a made up word. If you were gonna look at a dictionary, Mark, how would you pronounce that?
Yuma.
Yeah, well, Yuma.
Yuma.
Right. Yuma. Well, that's, you just read Greek. They're not English letters. Now, the Greek N looks like a V. So that's pneuma. We get the word pneumonia from it. It has to do with air, breathing, spirit. In Revelation, when it said that the false prophet gave breath to the image, this is it, pneuma. And you notice that silent P in English? It's got one in Greek to put a tie there. This is the word we're going to be concentrating on, pneuma, the word for spirit. When Jesus said the wind blows where it will, this is the word he used. It means wind, breath, spirit. So that's the word we won't be able to recognize when you read it in a Greek sentence. That's my goal. That's my first goal, is for you to be able to recognize that Greek word. And I want to give you some Greek sentences for you to pick it out of. But if this is in the spirit, the result of it is not that you know Greek better, that you know God better. But you have more confidence in what the Spirit of God is already telling you. That's the point. That's what we're at. Did the New Testament writers treat God's Spirit as a person? And I'm going to show you the evidence that proves it. That's what we're at. Well, let me tell you something about foreign languages. English doesn't have this. In many foreign languages, French, Spanish, German, Latin, they have a system of nouns where everything is either masculine or feminine. Or in the case of Greek and Latin, there's a third category, neuter. Pneuma is a neuter noun. It's neither male nor female. Give you some examples of this. Let's take the German word for window. It's Fenster. If you're going to say the window, you have to use the masculine word der, because Fenster is considered a masculine word. But classroom, classe. You can't say der classe because this is masculine, and that's feminine. You have to use a different word for the. Die Klasse. They also have a neuter noun system, like car, Auto. You can't say der Auto, die Auto, can't do either one. Because that's neuter, you have to use a neuter word for the. Words have to match whatever gender these words are. Adjectives, if you know what adjectives. Anything that describes this has to be masculine, because that's masculine. Any word that describes class has to have a feminine form, because that's feminine. Everything has to match. And that's what we're dealing with here in the New Testament. We have masculine words like man. We have feminine words like woman. And we have neuter words like pneuma. Everything has to match. If we can just get a couple of basic facts down, you're going to see clearly how the apostles handled the word spirit. In Greek, as with many other languages, nouns have gender, either masculine, feminine, or neuter. That's just a basic fact of the language. In Greek grammar, every article, the word the is an article. Every article, adjective, or pronoun has to match the gender of the noun that you're talking about. If you have a masculine noun, you have to use a masculine word for the. You know, the Greeks had 17 different words for the. 17 different ways to write the word the, and all of them mean the. In English, we just say the. In Greek, they were so philosophical that if you said the word the, they would think, what do you mean by the? Hebrew, the is the. The Hebrew word for the is ha, no matter what word you're talking about. In Greek, you got to know what kind of the you're talking about. And that's good for us, because studying the words that relate to pneuma lets us know what the apostles were thinking. For example, Ephesians 4:5 says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. In English, the word one is spelled the same way all three times. Not so in Greek. In Greek, Lord is masculine, faith is feminine, baptism is neuter. You got three nouns. One masculine, one feminine, and one neuter. And look at the Greek words in front of each noun. They don't even look alike. The red one is the masculine word for once. The green one is the feminine word for one. And the blue one is the neuter word for one. Adjectives change form based on the gender of the noun that it's describing. Again, the rule of grammar in the biblical Greek is that all adjectives, such as one, and pronouns, she or it, and articles, they must agree with the noun that they modify, both in gender and in number, singular or plural. There was an exception, and this is the key. An exception to this rule was made whenever a neutral word referred to a person. I'm going to show you, you're going to read the Greek about these exceptions. Greek writers were allowed to change any neuter article, adjective, or pronoun to a masculine or feminine gender if the writer wanted to tell you or indicate that he was talking about a person. In other words, he could use a neuter word and refer to it as he if that neuter word referred to a person. There was an exception, and that makes sense. Dr. Robertson, in his class, let me show you this book here, because this book was key to me finding this answer. This is almost 100 years old, 80, 90, something like that. It's known all around the world, among people that go beyond first year degree. And he was a genius at the development of the Greek language. That's the book I'm talking about. He points out that, quote, personal pronouns were sometimes used freely according to the sense, adding later that changes in pronouns can be made according to the gender of the person, if you talk about a person, rather than the grammatical gender. And that's at the heart of this study. You see what I mean in a minute. You need to be able to recognize the word pneuma. It's the Greek word for spirit. Now, I have put them all in blue in Acts 8, 15 through 19. I put every instance of spirit from that section in blue, and then I highlighted them in yellow down beneath. So you can see them in a sentence. All right? Romans 8, 13 through 16, I put them in blue. There are six of them, but I haven't highlighted them. This is where you begin reading Greek. All you got to do is find pneuma in those lines and circle it. You got six of them. Most of them will be the regular word pneuma. A couple of them will look like this. They'll have a T on the end of it. It's still pneuma. Show you all the different ways you can say thee. Every one of those little Greek words means thee. The red ones are masculine, the green are feminine, and the blue are neuter. We don't need the plural these because God doesn't have a one spirit. We just need to know the singular these. They are the words for thee.
Why would they ever describe God as a feminine?
Let me tell you some words that refer to the spirit that are feminine. Sword, gift, promise, at least one more, I can't think of it right now. But there's no rhyme or reason for this. Nobody that I know of has ever been able to say, this is why they said these words are masculine. This is why these words are feminine. For example, comforter. Comforter is a masculine word, but another word that means comforter, which is almost identical, is feminine. Who came up with this? I don't know. I mean, who was the guy that sat down one day and said, I think
gift will be feminine.
Nobody knows where they came up. Nobody. It's random in every language. There's just no rhyme. Of course, the word man's going to be masculine. Simple things like that. But for most words, nobody knows why. We just got to deal with it. When you're taking your first few weeks of Greek, you learn the these with every word so you'll know whether it's masculine or feminine. You might as well learn it with the vocabulary, or you won't have any idea what's what. So I'll show you some feminine words that refer to the spirit in a few minutes. Now we're going to get where we start finding or reading how Paul treated things. And this is fascinating to me. We don't need the feminine words right now for thee, so I mark them out. And we don't need the forms of thee that are identical, masculine and neuter. We just need the words thee that we can tell a difference with. If you'll look under the masculine, where I've marked it out, the Greek words I've marked out, they are identical to the neuter that I marked out. So they don't do us any good. We don't know from that whether the writer is saying the spirit is masculine or neuter, because they're the same. We can't tell. So we concentrate on where there is a difference to see what Paul was thinking, to see what John was thinking. If he had a choice between a masculine word and a neuter word, and he chooses the neuter, then we know what he's up to. So let's look at the amen. In the scriptures, when the amen is just an amen, it's a thing. In 1 Corinthians 14:16, how will the one who occupies the place of the ignorant say amen at your giving of thanks? Look in the yellow. What kind of the did he use? Neuter. You see it under the blue? He used the neuter word for the because it's just a thing. But how did John treat the amen? In Revelation 13:14, these things says the amen. What kind of word did he use for thee? Because there's a person talking. Now Jesus is the amen. So you don't use a neuter word. And that's what this man was talking about. Sometimes they went by the sense rather than the grammatical gender and the rule. They didn't follow the rule when they were talking about a person. I'll give you an example of the Lord and the Spirit right beside each other. The word Lord is masculine. The word Spirit is neuter. And look at the two kinds of these. You got a masculine Lord, but a neuter spirit. Why did he use a masculine thee for spirit? Because it's not a person. If it was a person, he had a choice to change. The grammar allowed you to change if you were talking about a person. You're going to see some examples of that. You see, that's one of the two basic things that you have to know to see what the apostles thought about the spirit. You have to know there's gender for nouns. You have to know that according to the rule, all words describing that noun had to be the same gender. That's just the rule. But if you're talking about a person, you are free to change to a personal word, a personal thee. If Paul thought the Spirit was a person, he could have used the personal thee. But he didn't. There's some more examples. We're going to go to some neuter words now. Jesus called us Gentiles dogs, but at least he recognized that we were persons. The word Gentiles, also translated as nations, is a neuter word. So according to the rule, every word referring to Gentiles has to be neuter. But we Gentiles are not referred to as those things, but as them. Matthew 28:19. All the nations, neuter, baptizing them. That's personal. Look down at the Greek. First word in yellow is the word for nations. I want you to find the thee that came before that Greek word. It's on the right-hand side, plural, because they're Gentiles, it's plural. So it's under the blue for neuter. Ta. So we know that's a neuter word. If you're going to refer to a neuter word, you ought to have a neuter pronoun. But he doesn't. He changes to a personal pronoun because they're people. The word them, autus, is in the center, the personal pronouns, is in highlighted in yellow under personal pronouns. Can you see autus there? The plural, right there in the very center. That's the word he used, and it's masculine, plural. Use masculine to refer to groups of people. So you see how he was free to change? He wasn't locked into a neuter pronoun. He was free to switch to a personal pronoun if he was talking about people, even if the word Gentiles is neuter. He wasn't stuck. Here's another example. Acts 15:17. All the Gentiles, same word down there highlighted in yellow, same neuter plural thee. Upon whom? That's a personal word for upon whom. And that's at the bottom under masculine plural. Everybody see that? Oos down there? Looks like oos, really oos. So he switched from neuter to masculine or personal again because he's talking about people. He also did that with the word child. Here's an example of child. The word child in Greek is neuter. But if you're talking about a little girl, you use a feminine pronoun. If you're talking about a little boy, you use a masculine pronoun. But the word itself is neuter. And taking hold of the hand of the child, Jesus saying to her, the child is neuter. But the aute is feminine, and that is in the middle under the feminine, the green. You see it for yourself that it's the same word that's used in the Greek text. It's feminine. Now let's talk about a slave. There's a neuter word for child that Paul used in reference to Onesimus. He said, I beg you for my child, that's a neuter word, whom I have begotten, not that I have begotten, because Onesimus was a human being. And you can find the word OV, it looks like that bottom, it looks like an OV. You really pronounce it hon. It's on the bottom, on the left-hand corner, under masculine. It's the same word. You can see that Paul is using, Paul and Matthew and Luke, are all using neuter words, but they're not locked into that rule. They're switching to personal pronouns because they know they're talking about a person. Now we're going to get to the big charts here. Let's read this together, the pneumatations. The Greek word for spirit is neuter, just like Gentile and child. The pneumatables contain every verse in the New Testament in which there is an article, adjective, or pronoun that refers to God's pneuma, that is, to God's spirit. I researched these words because they are the kinds of words that have neuter forms that differ from masculine.